Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of the Burning Question series by Fantasy Football Scout. In this series, Harry and I, Sonaldo, talk about the key hot topics for the week. We are back. We are ready. Unfortunately, last week I wasn't able to join. Back in the office, normal setting. Sorry for the confusion there, but it's good to be back. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Always chaos in FPL at this time of year, so we have got nice doubles, blanks, and free hits to talk about. So yeah, good. Excited to be podding. Nice to have you back as well.
Yeah, pretty excited for this week. I feel like, I feel good about the free hit week, right? Like, even though it's not as exciting as some people might say, I was enjoying getting the team ready, so excited to talk to you about it today.
Yeah, no, I agree. To be fair, like, I know there's a lot of free hit teams that are sort of looking the same this week, but there are enough picks out there that if you didn't want your team to look the same, there are enough out there to go a bit different. So that's what we're going to talk about a bit today, aren't we?
Yeah. How's life been, by the way? How's the Chelsea game that you went to?
Chelsea game was good. Cole Palmer show. It's great when there's an FPL asset you have in your team that also kills it for your football team as well.
Yeah.
So Cole Palmer and my FPL season have been shining lights compared to Chelsea this season. So to go there every week and to see him score 13 points when you also see your team win is a nice feeling. It was an interesting game. We weren't fantastic again. But to be honest, all it did was highlight the issues that I felt Newcastle have. I've sort of been aware of it, but I haven't really watched them massively for a while, apart from when they lost to, I think, Man City, and then you lose to City and that's that, and they put two goals up against them. But outside of their two goals, which one we gave them and the second one was just an incredible finish, they created nothing. So to be honest, all that game highlighted was I shouldn't be worried. I've got two Newcastle players, both of which were sat to my bench, and if I need to sell them in the upcoming weeks, to be honest, that performance made me feel quite all right to sell them.
Yeah. Guys, good to have you here. I see a lot of familiar faces and a lot of people from around the world. Thank you so much for joining us today. Quickly, I want to keep it as brief as possible, Harry. Let's talk about how we're doing with this team. It's been a disappointing double, to say the least, but we do have Prime AC Milan and Bournemouth playing tonight. So we hope for multiple.
I think you mean Prime AC Milan and Prime Netherlands playing against each other tonight. Yeah,
that Netherlands was a good one, but yeah, just keep, there's that gif of Ronaldinho in the Champions League getting ready with his, like, lips and stuff.
That's Solanke tonight.
That's Solanke tonight, man. And, a Neto penalty kick goal, you never know. Maybe he'll give it up to Neto, right? And
You'll be lucky if Neto's in the team this evening after the quotes we got today. It's all about the best goalkeeper for the double, which is Kaminski, who I've got. So hoping for some save points, hoping Solanke misses another penalty and Kaminski saves it this time, though. Yeah. But yeah, 45 for me. Basically, if you had one of Palmer and Son, you've had an okay game week. Mm-hmm. If you have neither of them, you've had a bad game week probably. And if you have both, then you've had a decent game week. So I've got both, luckily. And I got four doublers left, including Solanke as my captain as well.
Yeah. I think same thing for me. Really, it's Son and Palmer that did the heavy lifting. And I think you have to realize that maybe if you don't own them, you have a big red arrow. But for some reason, even with those points, it's not like a big green arrow, right? Maybe it is our ranks that are really bunched up here. But regardless, I'm glad, you know, we started them. And let's see. Let's see how the Bournemouth fixture turns out to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, today I think basically both Harry and I are on free hits. So our free hit teams are different, which is good. But what we're going to do is sort of go through team data and then go through sort of the pool of picks for defense, midfield, and attack. Sort of have our thoughts on it. I see FPL Fella in the chat, so I think it'd be good to sort of bounce some West Ham ideas off him if you remain. But that's about it. And then we also want to address sort of the non-free hitters. I think it's really important to do that as well. And so the two questions regarding non-free hitters would be, for free hitters like us, what do we have to worry about from game week 30 plus, which is mainly about Salah? And then for players that are not free hitting this week, who would be sort of the important players to bring in? This is a good point in the season, Harry, where we sort of are really coming down to the wire. And I think it's good to see these charts. On live FPL, you can see sort of top 10K chip usage, top 10K ownership, versus overall ownership, overall chip usage. I think the overall is not a great one to compare. The top 10K is a good one to compare at this point in the season. Yeah. It's relative, reflective of, let's say, the top 100K, maybe less so top 500K. But you can see here that there is still over 90% of free hits left to be used. So I expect that number to go up by maybe half, 50 to 60%, assuming so. But
I think it'll, top 10K, I think it will go, I think there'll be at least 60, like two-thirds of managers will have played their free hit by the end of this game week within the top 10K. It's going to be a massive chunk. So I hear is like, oh, if you're playing your free hit this week, you're on a guaranteed green arrow. And it's not actually the case because so many people are going to be on it that there's going to be, it's possible that 50% of the game have a better free hit than you. So it's not quite guaranteed green arrow this week, but there's going to be a lot of chips played.
Exactly. And you know, if the free hitters don't do well this game week, if you have a free hit in hand, it obviously is you're laughing, but at the same time, we all know that it's not like the TC chip. There's a lot of things surrounding the, you know, blank fixture itself, so it's really hard to compare how your free hit goes compared to the 34, again because of the surrounding fixtures, transfers, hits, etc. Bench boost, we expect that to stay low all the way till hopefully game week 37. I think that's when most people will use it. And wildcard will be interesting. I think it's not going to be, everyone's going to use it game week 35, 31. It could be 32. It'll sort of be a mix. So just know that like the top managers still have three of their, you know, heavy chips left. If you are lacking one of these chips, certainly you have to start planning for how to combat, you know, those managers with chips, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The wild card will creep sort of 30, 31, there'll be big chunks. 35, there'll be a big chunk. But every week between now and the end of the season, I imagine it goes up a few percent, apart from this week probably. So, yeah, wild card will creep up. Bench boost will probably be 34 and 37. Mm-hmm. 37 mainly. And then, yeah, free hit will be this week and 34 as well.
Nice. Okay, then EO-wise, we have some, let's say, interesting things I see. Again, we expect this to change in the coming weeks due to chip usage, fixture changes, etc., right? Areola, Dubravka, still the popular combo, but we know that Dubravka was sold by the masses this game week. And if you keep Dubravka, Newcastle have the best fixtures if you exclude game week, I think, maybe 34, from 30 all the way to the end. So maybe he's a spicy differential to have. Granted, you know, their defensive data is really, really bad. So that's one thing you should keep in mind if you have him. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the only thing is Nick Pope is expected back by mid-April. And the only thing on that is with the potential double in 34 for Newcastle, that he may be back by then, which would be a real spanner in the Dubravka works. But for like 30 and 31 and 32, he looks like a good option.
And I also think that Areola, there's not many fixtures to play him, so you probably have to play for Dubravka in the next, I think, two or three fixtures. So hopefully that pays off for you. Double Arsenal defense is very popular still, Saliba being the slight differential there. Do you know how to get rid of this, Harry?
Yeah, don't worry. I'm just changing my account.
Okay.
I'm on it.
Okay. And
You keep going.
then Doty, obviously, mainly due to 29. Porro is actually sort of getting to be a differential guy. So he also had a price rise this week. So something that is interesting. The rest speaks for itself. And the biggest thing here would be why I'm showing this is how are you going to get to Salah if you really need to get to him, right? You're going to have to drop one of these high EO players. Most likely it's going to be either Son or Foden to I won't consider Bowen in the mix here because I think he's less owned. So it's either going to be Son. Let's say Palmer, Saka are locked, Son or Foden to Salah, which means you're going to have to get rid of one of, I think not even Solanke's going to do it, right? You've got to probably get rid of Watkins. So, yeah, you might see that move happening, or you might see Son go up and then Foden downgrade to super cheap. Hence why, like, if you're not in a free hit this week, I would be strongly considering bringing Muniz this week in order to fund it. But then there's also news that apparently Muniz might not start this week because there's some ridiculous clause about Boya having to start in order for Fulham not to pay. I don't know the details of it, so.
So I'd be very surprised if that impacts stuff because he basically has to start every single game between now and the end of the season. And I just don't see them doing that. Jimenez is also back, meant to be back this weekend, which is the only thing on Mooney's. But I think Mooney's will probably be given the start this weekend, given how well he's been, and not to rush Jimenez back.
Okay, and
But
then
yeah,
this.
they
Go
Fulham
ahead.
have to pay Fulham have to pay 4 million to us, to Chelsea, if he doesn't get a certain amount of start. So yeah, but I don't think he'll start. I'd be surprised.
Okay, so you still think Muniz is locked to start?
Yeah, I think it might be an issue after the break if Jimenez is fully back, but Muniz has been really, really good
Really
for them.
good,
So
yeah.
interesting one to see what his price is game week one next season.
Okay. And then this is sort of a chart of it was shared by I believe Tom on FF Scout, which has great articles, guys. Once again, please do like the stream today and subscribe to the FF Scout channel, as well as a lot of free articles right now on the Scout website. It is excellent, guys. The writing is as good, if not better, than the podcast we do. So definitely show some love over there. Basically, what this chart is showing you is that on average, that most players have about 5.1 players in place for game week 29. So just a reminder, there's about 5.1 players in place for game week 29. So if you think about that, let's say the popular options are already covered, right? You've got Son, Tony, Watkins. Maybe most don't have Bowen yet, but you can get to him. So you already have the main options. 5.1 is covered. So essentially, this free hit is about these not so sexy, lesser sexy picks surrounding those core picks. Because even the free hitters, non-free hitters will already have the likes of Sun, if you know what I mean, right? So we're sort of betting on two things here as free hitters is having no hit 11 players plus a bench, potentially last minute news that might help us, but probably not. And then we're really banking on the guys like Morris, Bailey, Kudus, Wissa to sort of pull through. Well, that's my thoughts, Harry.
Yeah, I was surprised it's quite this low, because I suppose I thought there'd be more people planning to not free hit this week, because in, like I have four, I actually have five, because I have two goalkeepers, but I think the average free hitter still has at least four this week. So that must mean there can't be that many people with, eight, nine, ten planning not to play their free hit this week. So maybe I've underestimated. Maybe I'll put it as a poll in the chat of how many people are planning to play their free hit. But like the big thing here even is, and the differences are, like, where are we going on our free hit versus where is the ownership, like, currently? So, like, Spurs, the average average team only has one Spurs player in at the moment. Yet every free hit will have three. So a Spurs win is pretty big for free hit versus maybe non-free hit. Brentford as well. So only 0.17 average Brentford player in teams at the moment. Yeah, every free hit I've seen has had three. So particularly Brentford, if Brentford go away to Burnley and let's say they win 2 or 3 nil, right, that'll be massive for free hitters. But if it's a tight KG1 all draw, then that'll be good for non-free hitters. That Brentford one is particularly the one that I look at and think that's where the difference is going to be.
Yeah, nice breakdown there. So I think it's good that we have sort of an overview of where we are at this season, guys. So literally three main chips to be played, a lot of rankings, gains left to be had. And, you know, if you're in the top 500K, you still can make a giant push to the end. So I urge you to stay engaged, even though the defensive or double game week hasn't panned off so far.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, and... by the way, shout out Liam Wood. Good morning from Philadelphia. I actually went to school in Philadelphia back in like 2011-ish. So yeah, second home for me in the States. So thank you for joining us today. I think it's like 8 a.m. over there. Okay, what we have here is first, we're going to go through some team data. Okay, team data, let's see. So this first chart is team data for the entire season. Yeah, the first defensive data, XGC over the entire season. So the ones according to this to target are at the bottom, Burnley, West Ham, Luton, as you can see. Fulham potentially too. And surprisingly, Nottingham Forest, not a bad defense. But if we deep dive into it, let's look at the last six game weeks. I think the caveat here, guys, is that trying to make the narrative of recent data by saying, let's look at the last six game weeks is never actually a solid thing to do. And what I mean by this is that when you look at recent game weeks, the number of game weeks you have to look at has to have a certain reason, right? You know, maybe after the international break or a key transfer happened or stuff like that. But so that's the caveat here. I think we're trying our best to give you sort of form. But again, there was the blank as well in 25 to think about, as well as players like Son coming back recently. So just that's the only thing about being a little cautious with these last six game weeks types of charts. But you can see from here, if you compare it to the entire season, again, this is team defensive data. So Spurs go from the 12th best to the 5th best defensively. So you can also see that recently their defense has been, you know, pretty well, pretty good. Nottingham Forest go from 9th best to 6th best. Fulham go from 14th best to 8th best. Aston Villa go from 6th to 12th, so actually they get worse. So the first three teams got better, Aston Villa got worse. Brentford also got worse, 10th to 14th, which is like the 6th worst defense in the league. And then Burnley, West Ham, Luton, still teams to target and the teams you want to target for defense. You have anything to add here, Harry?
So I saw someone talking about this when they're talking about Ivan Toney as well and how much Brentford, how much they go down these charts over the past six. But in that run, they've had Arsenal, Chelsea,
Liverpool,
like City. West Ham away, City away, Liverpool and Wolves in their last six. So it is very different going away to Burnley, which is what they've got there this weekend. So last six is interesting to see form, but yeah, I agree. You need to have a sort of close eye on who those fixtures have been against. And like, even I know Luton are not a great defense, right? And we know that, but in their last six, they've had Villa, Liverpool, United, Newcastle, Brighton in there. Like, they are worse fixtures than being at home to Nottingham Forest, who they've got this weekend. So maybe I'm trying to convince myself that double Luton defence in my normal team is not such a horrendous idea. But yeah, I think you just need to have a, like, the season data is interesting. The combined with the short-term but yeah, with a bit of fixture in the background. Spurs, I think Forest is an interesting one here. Like, no one's talking about Forest on free hit, and it maybe we should be much more than we are.
Yeah. So I like what you just said here. It's a catch-22, right? In the sense that, first of all, when you're looking at one game week, season data, form, it should matter a little less, right? There's just more variables that can happen. Like, anything can happen this game week, right? First things first. But it's a catch-22 for Brentford because I want to double up on their defense, or, you know, I want to. But if you look at their last five games, they've lost four and tied one. And granted, it is really tough teams. It's not the best, like, data to jump off of, even though they're playing Burnley this week. So that's the only thing I'll mention there. I also did take a look at sort of home data and away data, and you know, it gets too complex here, but let me just try to break it down. If you look at the home data, Fulham might be the eighth best defense in the last six game weeks, but over the course of the season, they're the 12th best defense in the league. So their home data is not that great, Fulham, defensively. Burnley are slightly better at home, and then the rest is the same. So nothing that really stands out in terms of home data. Yeah. In terms of away data, as you can see at the right top, these are the teams that we're talking about for Game Week 29. The big surprise is that Brentford, for some reason, are the third best defense in the league away from home, Harry. So yeah, that really stood out to me. I mean, they're playing away against Burnley, whose XG is really weak. So over the course of the season, third best defense at home. So I'm very convinced
away from
that
home. And Spurs up there as well, home. Also away from home. The Spurs Fulham fixture is a really interesting one because Fulham's attack is pretty good at home.
Yeah.
But Spurs are putting up pretty good defensive numbers at home. I'm just trying to have a look. But Brentford have played. They've gone away to Arsenal. They've gone away to City. They've gone away to Spurs. So it's not like their away fixtures. They've gone away to Liverpool. It's not like their away fixtures so far this season have been easy, and that's why they've gone away to Newcastle. They've been away to United. They've been away to Chelsea. To still put third best in the league is actually really impressive given the fixtures they've had. So
exactly.
That's why a lot of free hit drafts have a double up on the Brentford defense this week.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, and then let me do one thing real quick, and then I need you to solo for about 2 minutes because our Zoom is about to die. But okay, in terms of let's see, away data. Let's go to away data real quick.
Yep. Is this not?
Yeah, it's not the scout one. So I have 6 minutes or 8 minutes, but I'll figure it out. So away data, again, Brentford is jumped up there to third. Tottenham, very solid defense away from home, which is a good sign if you want to own Poro or Udogie.
Yeah.
Plus, you couple that with their recent defensive data being really good. So I think Tottenham defense, data-wise, is a very solid play. Villa, also quite solid defense away from home. So, you know, if you want a Villa defender in there, like a Konsa, potentially. Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, if you're having West Ham Bowen, it's not like, it doesn't make sense, right? Because you want Bowen to score. So I would avoid a Aston Villa defender. And then actually, we spoke highly about Nottingham Forest, but they're not the best defense away from home, Harry. They like actually fall down. Whereas they're ninth overall on the season and sixth best in the past six game weeks. But they're much stronger at home than away in terms of defensive data. So this is the sort of, you know, data summary that I want to give you.
Okay.
And then the last thing is clean sheet odds. So go ahead here. Just give me a minute to do the Zoom.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Cool. Yeah, let me get it up. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, the clean sheet odds this week sort of just highlight that we are picking defenders that are that need attacking threat. No team has over a 30% chance of a clean sheet. So even when you're looking at Brentford, who in theory are the best on day to defence, although with the injuries they've got, it's not that easy. And Burnley have just put two past West Ham. Like, no one has reliable clean sheet odds this week, which is part of the reason people are like, is the free hit really worth it? And if you're not on free hit this week, I really would be focusing all your transfers on putting out a front seven rather than putting out a sort of back three in defence. But then again, no team is actually predicted to score more than two goals this week. So there are, we have four matches which we're free hitting into or not free hitting into, which are all incredibly difficult to call. All four matches, I don't think you'd be surprised if they ended in pretty much any result. Maybe a Burnley win would be a bit surprising, but Burnley getting a draw, Luton Forest going either way, Fulham Spurs in theory going either way, and West Ham Villa as well, particularly after they play Europe on Thursday, is also very difficult to call. So the odds are, I mean, not massively. Spurs have the highest predicted goals, but it's still only 1.85 this week. They're still not expected to, you know, put loads past Fulham. Oh.
Okay, I think we're good now.
Oh, said we got upgraded. Amazing.
Yeah. There we go. Sorry for that, guys. But go ahead, Kerry.
So yeah, I don't know, when you look at this, it kind of just, I think it's interesting about the defenses, like there's no real clean sheet odds, but I think it's also interesting that no team is expected to put three or four goals past anyone. So even like, I know, like looking at our drafts, people are thinking about like triple Spurs attack, like doubling up on other attacks. You got to be pretty lucky if that goes your way, because no one is predicted to massively score loads of goals this week. There will be someone. I'm sure there'll be one team that scores three goals, but it's pretty difficult to predict who that's going to be.
I understand that. One of the things that sort of makes me think that potentially it might be okay, there's a lot of potential in, for example, Spurs attack. Sorry, I'm trying to get back into the conversation here, is that like Fulham are, I think, 12th or 13th in the league. And sometimes we forget about sort of league status and like sort of where the standings are. And when you're 12th in the league, Fulham, you're not really fighting for anything much, right? I think they're like way ahead of the relegation zone as well. So I just feel like I don't think they're Fulham's like such a team that sits back so much. So that I think there's opportunity for it to be a sort of open game, at least in the second half. Again, we're, you know, getting into the nitty gritty here, but there could be some goals.
I agree on that game, but I mean, they beat Brighton 3-0 at home. They went away to United and won 2-1. So I think that's the game that we probably do expect the most goals in. I definitely agree on that, and it is the one that's got, I think, the most predicted goals, but yeah, I think Fulham are a decent side at home and it won't be easy for Spurs. Now, it could go and they end up scoring loads, but I think that would be more unpredictable than predictable with this game.
Yeah, so I guess from this, it boils down to us essentially bringing it together to say the free hit defense is the trickiest part, would you say so? Mm.
Yeah, so you need to be looking for attack and threat, really.
Okay, nice. Then let's do a quick overview of attacking data for free hit 29 teams. On the left is XG open play for the course of the season. On the right is XG open play for the past six game weeks, so recent sample size. If you look on the left, over the course of the season, Aston Villa, Tottenham are fourth and fifth best attack in the league. Funnily enough, they are fourth and fifth in the league as well. So attack matters, obviously. You have to score goals. Brentford are 10th best attack in the league, so very mid-tier attack. And if you look at Brentford's sort of season, like, remember they started off super hot first, I would say, 10, 11, 12 game weeks. Yeah. Then Mbeumo got injured somewhere in between, and sort of they're quiet for a while, and then Tony came back. He had a couple of good games, and then last few games has been tough. So mid-tier for a reason in terms of attack. But again, you have to play the fixtures. Fixtures perform, and hopefully this is the game where they can do what damage against Burnley.
I wish Mbeumo was back this week. Yeah. I wish. It looks like it's going to be after the international break, but if he was back, he'd fill that last midfield spot for me. Yeah. I'd absolutely love to have him back in that Brentford team away at Burnley. But it doesn't look like it's going to be the case, sadly.
Yeah. Sorry, Colm. I love Fulham as well. Yeah, in terms of like Mbeumo, I would love to have him, which is why I'm like stuck on Wissa. I really like Wissa as a pick. Do you remember like early in the season when we all had Mbeumo? It was actually Wissa getting a lot of points as well. So he is a good shout. It's the only thing is that he's an attacker, which
yeah, exactly. Messes the forwards with me. Yeah.
Okay, and then you look at the last six game weeks. Let's sort of compare the difference. You can see Aston Villa remained the same. Look at Fulham, man. Fulham attack has risen. They've gone from 12th to 5th best. So Muniz, certainly a shout to be had. Same thing for Tottenham. Let's remember they also had a blank and Sun. So this data is not great for the last six game weeks for Tottenham. So I actually think they're, you know, let's call it the same, right? Brentford attack drops slightly so. NFO attack surprisingly goes from 5th worst to 8th best. So, you know, Elanga, Gibbs White, maybe two players to consider as that 4th, 5th midfield spot this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Luton, Burnley, still very bad attacks. And West Ham data is just not adding up, man. Like, I know we're all bullish on Bowen, but I don't know, man. Like, I think you could take a risk to go against Bowen even if you're willing to play that game. I know he's a lock in our teams, but at least team data-wise, it's not that great. And we all know the story with Kudus as well. His underlying stats are not the best either. So
Yeah. Yeah. That game, because they both play Europe on Thursday as well, is a difficult one to call. I still think I'll end up with Bowen in my team because I think Villa will be tired as well. Both have really big European fixtures on Thursday before that game on Sunday. But yeah, the West Ham data is surprisingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's down there almost with, you know, Burnley.
Mm.
I mean, it's slightly better, but yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah. Their
and their fixtures have not been. I mean, the season data is also really poor. So it's not just like over the past six they've been unlucky because of the fixtures they've had. They definitely should be higher up in this than they are. So I have two West Ham midfielders in my team, and maybe I should be reconsidering that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Moyes does a good job against the bigger teams, like historically speaking, and West Ham do need to get a result here. So I can see the argument of at least owning Bowen, but I'm not really convinced of owning a second West Ham asset, personally speaking. And we have to, like, even the Spurs game at Aston Villa were extremely fatigued. I will give you that, right? And yes, both teams are going to be fatigued and might exploit some space behind. But Aston Villa is a good defensive team, man. Like, they know how to lock you down. You saw it in the first half against Spurs. So it's not like it's going to be a cakewalk for Bowen to score against Aston Villa. I just think it's something you should consider. We have unlimited funds, so automatically we feel like we need to spend as much funds as possible. And I get it, Bowen is a talisman, but, you know.
Yeah, I suppose the only thing is they're without Kamara and they'll now be without John McGinn as well for this game. So, Villa. So does that, like, yes, they've got Douglas Luiz, but that midfield battle, they just become weaker and weaker in it.
Yeah, Paqueta might dominate, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I look at the likes of, you know, Paqueta, Alvarez, like Suchek in that midfield against, they brought on someone, I can't remember who they brought on to play defensive midfield in that game, but it doesn't bode massively well for that Villa midfield going into this game.
Yeah.
That's the only thing when I look at West Ham being at home and the Villa midfield looking like it's a little bit all over the place at the moment.
Yeah. I love how we can talk about these individual games. I mean, we're impossible to predict, but it's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's part of the thing on free hit is like when I get my team up, some of the picks in there look random, but you've got to, sometimes you just get lucky on a free hit. Like last year, I picked Castagna. He was playing for Leicester, who went on to get relegated. He scored 15 points in that game. He got a goal and a clean sheet. And sometimes you just put yourself in that position. Sometimes you don't necessarily just pick the player who looks best on paper, because the player who's best on paper scores the most points between now and the end of the season. It doesn't mean he scores the most points in any specific game week. So maybe on a free hit, you take a bit of a gamble, which I feel like I might do in a couple of spots this week.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with you here.
On this, I think the key example is the Spurs defense. Poro is the best defender between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
But who's more likely to turn up with a 15-pointer in a specific game week?
Yeah. Could be Romero. Could be Udogi, man. Udogi actually plays super, super high. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, Poro is best because I think he'll probably get the most maybe bonus attacking returns between now and the end of the season. But if I was putting a bet on who got a goal this week for Spurs, I probably wouldn't put it on Poro.
Yeah, and Harry, Poro has only his highest return this season is, I think, 8 points. So it's not like it's not like he's a, you know, Hall machine or anything like that. So
I'm going to buy Romero and he's going to get sent off. So that's the other thing that you've got to take into account with him. But yeah, I think Romero's had 8 against Villa. Like, he got 2 bonus against Villa, despite the team scoring 4 goals. 10 against Palace, because he scored in that. He scored 9 against West Ham, because he scored that game. He's had 8 against, like, when they kept a clean sheet against Fulham earlier on in the season, bonus. Kept a clean sheet against Luton earlier on in the season, like 2 bonus. So, apart from him maybe getting sent off, I think I'm going to end up with Romero in my free hit draft.
Yeah. Okay, so these are the free hit options. I think we covered it pretty much all in this chart. So if you want to take a screenshot, I'm sure it's out there, like similar stuff out there. But before I got there, Tim asked a very, very good question, not on free hit. What do you think about Muniz will enable Salah? You know, I was on the FPL pod off the bench yesterday and I was saying the exact same thing, right? I think the only pre-move that you could do this week is to downgrade one of the attackers to Muniz and then fund that Salah move. You'll be ahead of the curve next week. A lot of people might end up selling walk-ins, right? So I don't mind it. Fulham have great fixture in 30-31 as well, and I believe Newcastle in either 32 or 33. So it's not the end of the world. But what do you think, Harry?
Yeah, so they go Spurs this week, then they go Sheffield United and Forest. Like, I would do the only thing, I'd be cautious of relying on him for 30-31 because we might get to a position where Jimenez gets more minutes being back. But if you go into 30-31 and you actually don't need him because you've got a front 8 and you can bench him, then I don't hate that this week, no.
Yeah, same. Okay, let's look at the defense. Would you say Doty is pretty much locked?
I would say so, unless barring anything crazy happening tonight in the Luton versus Bournemouth game. The only thing that puts me off slightly is a short turnaround and their defensive injuries. Their defense is all over the place at the moment. Forest have a week to prepare. This is a massive game as well.
Yeah.
Like, if Forest win, it massively clears them of relegation at the moment, unless there's a points deduction. But if Luton win this game, it is like, this game is huge. So I've made that more difficult to predict. But based off the lack of other options, I think Doughty will be in my free hit. Plus, he's one of those players that if you own, it's difficult to sell him on the free hit.
Yeah.
Because I don't like if I sell him and I've owned him all this time and I sell him on a free hit and he does well, it's going to make the free hit look worse. And part of that comes into my thinking with Areola as well. I don't have him in my draft at the moment, but if I take Areola out and Areola is the one who kills my free hit, I don't think I'll ever look at him and this game again after how he's been so far this season. So, I mean, Doughty will be in my free hit unless something happens tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I'll counter that. I don't like that argument so much. I think it's very...
It's a mentality thing.
Yeah, mentality and specific to your team. But I also understand. I mean, he just regardless of that, Harry, he's a good pick. Like, we have a lack of defensive options and, you know, they might get a goal at home against Nottingham Forest. It's an important game and we want the most attacking, basically a wing back, right? Or winger. So I like Doughty.
Yeah.
I think most people
although there. Mm-hmm. They may end up playing a back four because they don't have enough defenders is the only thing. But yeah, okay. These are all caveats, but he'll probably be, because of the lack of other options, I think he'll be in most free hits.
Yeah. Over here, I think most people will have one of Porro, Romero. I forgot to mention Udogie in there, so let's leave it there. Between the three, where are you at right now?
At the moment, I'm on Romero, just in the off chance that you get lucky on a free hit. Not because I think he's actually a better pick. Not because I just, you know, I want to take a gamble on it a little bit.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's Romero.
Okay. I think the safe pick is Porro, but personally speaking, between the three, I really like Udogie. I think in the last game, I saw how high of a position he was, or last few games, and yeah, I really like Udogie as a pick, and if I went for a defensive Tottenham option, I would really, really consider Udogie as an option as well. Just a gut feel, mostly speaking.
The other thing to mention, though, is they might be without Van de Ven, which doesn't impact the attacking output, but it definitely lowers their clean sheet odds if Van de Ven doesn't play. Like, Dragosin is good, but he's not Van de Ven good, right? He's not got the recovery pace, which does weaken the rest of their defense a little bit.
I get the pace if they get exposed because they press so high. Then you need a Van de Ven is like the solution there, right? To this entire team. But can you pronounce his name?
Dragosin.
Dragosin played really well against Aston Villa. So,
you know,
maybe he can do the cover against Fulham this week. But I do agree. Mm-hmm. He's the elite defender in Van de Ven.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Then I'm very keen on Reguilon. Would you agree here too?
Yeah, the only thing is he's flagged, right? Didn't play last weekend, so he's a doubt. And I think most people just go to Roslev if he is out, the other fullback. There's a chance if Reguilon's fit that I end up with both in my team and not go Flecken.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at least one of these Burnley fullbacks, if they play a back five, they're wingbacks as well. So one of those will be in most drafts, I think.
Yeah, agree.
Reguilon, I probably prefer if he's fit.
Yeah. I like the double Brentford defense. It helps me enable what I want to do up in the mid and top. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier on, third best defense away from home this season. So, you know, the chances are there for potential clean sheet. And then the other ones would be sort of differentials, I would say, in a free hit. Again, you don't want to go differential for the sake of going differential in a free hit because it already is a differential, you using the free hit, if you know what I mean. Koufal, let's just sort of like eliminate that. I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a bit of attacking threat, though, and they are playing at home. I don't expect a clean sheet, but then I don't expect a clean sheet anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't love it, and I'm not going to end up there, but I don't love any of the picks massively this week. So,
okay.
If I went West Ham, he'd be the one I'd go with.
Okay, fair. Alex Moreno, Digne, maybe Dean. This is the time he returns.
Yeah, just knowing which of them's going to start. I mean, after Thursday, if one of them plays Thursday, then you'd probably expect the other one to play Sunday, but even the game at the weekend, one of them played 56 minutes and then the other one comes on. So even if you get your start, you don't even know you're going to get to 60 minutes. So
yeah.
Yeah, it feels like too much of a gamble.
Okay.
If the fixture was at home or they had a slightly better fixture, then maybe it would be worth the gamble, but I'm not sure it is.
Yeah. Fulham defense, any intrigue there?
I mean, we're all banking on goals, aren't we, in the Spurs team? So yeah. So to pick a Robinson would probably not be a good idea. The reason that Fulham become interesting is for people not on free hit.
Yeah.
Because they go into Sheffield United away in game week 30. So if you're not on free hit, someone like Robinson over some of the others actually becomes quite a nice idea, because like Brentford have United in game week 30, Luton have Spurs away in 30, West Ham have Newcastle away in 30. So if you're going to need them in 30, he's better, but it's not great this week.
Okay, so yeah, let's get to the midfield next. Defense-wise, I think the popular would be one Tottenham defender, one Brentford defender, and probably Doty.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, midfield is where it gets exciting, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's the most options in midfield that you can pick from. Most will have at least two Spurs. Son feels a lock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we massively need to go in there, but Son is a lock. And then Madison, I mean, his goal at the weekend makes it sort of confirmation bias that we all want Madison.
Yeah.
But I feel like he is the most reliable outside of Son. We all loved him earlier on in the season, right? So,
yeah,
I feel like most will have Son and Madison for this fixture.
I mean, just on Son, I need a moment here, you know. Goal, two assists. You know, he has 20 plus attacking returns for the past 8 seasons in a row. So just super, super consistent, you know.
I just have no idea how I'm going to get Salah back.
I know. That's what's killing me right now. But, Harry, this is...
Sorry, just a question before you answer that. Where do you think Richarlison plays when he comes back? Does he go up front?
So they're not. They're not.
Every time they put Son up front, he's so good there.
I know. Let me try to answer this after I talk about Johnson, because I have something for Johnson here. But anyways, yeah. So Son's going to be impossible for me to sell personally. I just don't see how I can sell him. He's been involved in 22 goals in 21 league appearances this season, right? Like, how on earth are we thinking about selling him?
Yeah.
So for me, it has to be like a somehow funding Foden to Salah, which would mean sacrificing Watkins, you know? Anyways.
Foden as well, though. I know we're getting ahead, but
I know.
How do you're not going to want to sell Foden.
I know.
Because if you look at the City fixtures from... let me just get them up. Like... from 30. So in 30, of course, they have Arsenal at home.
Yeah.
Then it's Villa at home, Palace away, Luton at home, Spurs away, Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, West Ham at home.
Yeah.
So if you sell Foden, you are going to go into that run of fixtures for City with Haaland being your only attacker, and you'll be in a position where you just don't want City to score any goals in those 8 games.
I know. What can we do though, man? What can we do?
Keep them all. Sell Watkins. But then you're selling the highest scoring player in the game at the moment. So
yeah,
someone's got to go. So we'll talk. I think we've got it later on. Salah coming back in is tough.
Yeah. I mean, let's save that for next week. I don't want to stress myself out anymore. but yeah, let me talk about Johnson, because... very careful with my words here, but I don't see an alternative world where he doesn't start this weekend, personally speaking, right? 4 goals, 6 assists, already double digits this season. Very, very good games against Aston Villa and Crystal Palace. Big, big roles. And here's where I'll tie it in with Richarlison, and this is what I saw, is A, his chemistry with Son was really good. So what I mean by this is they press really well together. They're just... Ange's Spurs is all about pressing. And when you have Son making these runs to press, even though Johnson has a late start, he's there to help cover. So that chemistry was amazing to see. But here's a big thing that people might not catch, Harry, is that on the right, you have quality, right? You have quality in Kulu and Johnson, who's a natural right winger that wants to play on the right. We've seen that over the past 10 game weeks, right? But now Kulu's back, and Kulu's just such a quality player that that's his spot. When we talked previously about them having two midfield spots and then four up top, that no longer exists because Maddison is back and Sarr is back and Bissouma's back, right? So they're going to have three up top no matter what. Son is obviously the best pick in the game, or one of the best picks in the game, if he plays up top. But we've seen him go left when Richarlison plays. And there was a game after the Asian Cup when Son and Werner were both playing. And Werner played up top and Son played on the left because Werner's just not effective on the left. And so I think Ainge saw as a totality that Son is just more, not as effective scoring on the left, but as a team, it just makes the team attack better, which is why that, you know, he's just like having to go back and forth between left and top. Like if you have two Sons, problem solved, right? But the last two game weeks, Johnson played on the left and he played a big, big role, and he's getting his rhythm playing on the left is the point I'm trying to make here, right? Like, he's looking better and better on the left. Two really good games with attacking returns. Chemistry with Son is good. So I think it's going to be Johnson left, Son top, Kulu right. And when Richarlison comes in, I think he's going to be benched, man. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I don't, like, well, who are you going to drop? You're going to have to drop Maddison. You're going to have to drop...
No, he dropped...
Yeah.
He'd drop Johnson and play Son on the wing, but
exactly. But Johnson's hot right now, you know, and
he is, and Son is definitely as well. The other thing that plays into it is the two games before the Richarlison injury was a 2-1 win against Brighton, and then they lost to Wolves. But Richarlison didn't score in either of those games.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's really hard to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. So Matt Henley makes a good point. Son is a better striker, but he's a huge miss on the left. That's exactly the point I'm making, right? So right now, it's going to be Johnson left, Son top. Like, I just see it that way, personally. But when Richarlison comes, then you have options, right? You could do the Son left, Richarlison top, or you can bench Richarlison, or maybe even start Richarlison top, Son left, Johnson, Kulu right. There's a lot of combos at play there, but at least right now, I think it's going to be... Like, Johnson was very good on the left the last two games. And before that, I think we even had an episode maybe 5-6 game weeks ago where I was complaining about how Johnson was bad on the left. But the more reps you get in anything in life, you know, the more comfortable you get. So he looked really good on the left, is what I'll say.
Yeah, he has been really good recently. And I've no doubt, well... I have very little doubt that he starts this weekend. So for most of the conversation we're having today, I think he's a good pick. But it's just interesting to get your thoughts on what it does going forward as well, because because the other thing is, if I suppose he could take Kulu off, but if he doesn't start either Johnson or Werner, how is he going to bring them both on? I suppose he takes Kulu off, right? And
this is what I mean.
Richarlison. Like,
based off, based off my theory, right? Like you have three spots. You want the best quality there. You have two great players on the right in Johnson or Kulu, but now you have an option to cover that left in order to feed Son up top. So I just naturally think that Johnson will get the start. Again, if he doesn't start, then that's the end of me, but I just feel that way in terms of what I'm seeing.
Okay. Yeah, I like him. Any love for Kulu, or would you go Johnson over Kulu?
Yeah, I think Kulu will most likely be the safer pick and the start on the right, almost guaranteed.
Because he'll probably get 90 as well.
Yeah, I think Kulu's
great. Whereas Johnson won't.
Yeah.
Johnson will probably, what does he get, 80? And then Werner comes on, maybe 70, 80, and Werner comes on. Yeah. So, again, he's one of those differentials, right? People will go Son and Maddison, and if they go a third, they'll go Johnson. So Kulu will be a massive differential this week.
Yeah. I like Hulu, man. I like Hulu too. Okay, we have to. I don't have much time, Harry, so let's kind of go through the rest.
Cool.
Gibbs White, Alanga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forrest. Gibbs White's the one on penalties as well, but his returns have not been great. The issue was Alanga and Hudson-Odoi were both benched at the weekend, which was completely bizarre, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they'll come back in, especially as a result of them losing that game. But yeah, Gibbs White would be the one if I went for one of them.
Okay.
But they're not in my draft at the moment. I think I've got Gibbs White as my first sub, actually.
Okay. And then between Bowen, Kudus, Paqueta, obviously Bowen. Between Kudus and Paqueta, who's your pick there?
At the moment, I'd go Paqueta. Mm-hmm. But the look of Aston Villa's high line, and Kudus could get a bit of joy against that. But Paqueta has been really good recently. Has been very creative as well. So I'm not certain on where I'll go if I go a second. At the moment, I've got Paqueta.
Yeah.
Spoiler. But looking at that Villa high line, and Kudus has been unlucky recently not to get something. So at the moment, Bowen is in. But it, to be honest, it could be any two of the three.
Yeah, I agree.
You can take on Bowen this week. I do think it's reasonable. Yeah. I don't think I will.
Personally, I would sway away from double up West Ham midfield, personally. But I get it. I get why.
I think there's a lot of options, but I don't think there's loads of great options though, mm-hmm. because yours is okay because you're going triple mids from Spurs, so that kind of fixes your problem. But the majority of us are not doing that.
Yeah.
And that means we want Son, Madison, probably Bowen, and then your last midfielder pick is just someone else, and they're all as good as each other. It feels like. Yes, okay, you might mentality-wise not want to double up, but is Gibbs White a better pick than a Kudus or Paqueta this week? Is, you know, a Bailey or a Louise a better pick than them this week? I don't think so. I think it's pretty close. Iwobi is the other one. Mm. Fulham have looked better recently. He's playing further forward. And if you can't fit a Muniz in your forward line, but you want a bit of Fulham, that's where I'd be going.
Yeah. Bailey? Louise, I love Bailey, man. You don't like it too much?
I mean, what did he play at the weekend? 60?
69 minutes.
They play Europe on Thursday.
Yeah.
They have to win that game. So let's say Bailey starts that game. Let's say Bailey doesn't start, which is probably predictable because he hasn't started many in Europe. He's a fine pick. He can definitely do well. His data is really good. But it's just the minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you can get 70 minutes out of Bailey against West Ham's defense, anything can happen.
True. Mm. True. Bailey, I would definitely go Bailey over Louise on free hit.
Yeah, no doubt.
Given the minutes they play on Thursday night, right? But yeah.
Okay. And then attack, I think Watkins, Tony pretty much locks themselves. It's that last spot that is super interesting. I can make an argument for all of it. I really like Wissa. Except I want to double up on their defense. That's where the trouble is.
Yeah. There's not enough good defenders not to double up on Brentford. So, yeah. I mean, I think I'll end up on Morris. His return has been pretty good recently.
Yeah, same. I don't think I want to overthink it too much. But let's see where we end up on the deadline. Because Muniz is an interesting
pick.
Fofana
has been so good for Burnley. Sorry, go on.
I was saying Muniz is a good pick. Fofana as well. I think he has like 3 returns in the last 3, right?
It's been really good. As a Chelsea fan, it's nice to see him doing well. But I don't think I'll find space for him.
Yeah. Okay, guys. And then now we have our free hit teams. Oh, what is this? Okay. So we have Harry's team up here first. Harry, if you want to read it out loud and talk to me about your differential picks here. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, there are a couple of things that are a little bit different here. At the moment, I've gone Flecken and Roslev just because we're not certain on Reguilon. Doughty's in there. And then, as I said, I've just gone with Romero over Porro, just in the hope that something happens with Romero. He's also slightly better for bonus, but we'll see. That could change if Reguilon is fit. I might go Reguilon in that spot over Romero and free up a Spurs attacker. Madison and Son with the armband at the moment. When I've gone Bowen and Paqueta, then Watkins, Morris, Tony up front. Things that could change are the goalkeeper, Romero, and probably Paqueta. Those are probably the three spots. And those are the three spots that will make or break the free hit, it feels like. The rest of it is most people have Son, Tony, Morris, Watkins, Madison, Bowen, a Burnley defender, Doughty. It's what you do with the final three spots, really. And at the moment, double Brentford defence, a third Spurs somewhere, and at the moment it's Paqueta. Gibbs White, first sub, maybe creeping his way in.
Yeah. I think the Paqueta shout is very interesting. Yeah.
I just don't love anyone there.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, if I go triple Spurs mids, how many goals do they have to score for that to work out?
I know.
That's the thing.
They have to score a lot, yeah.
They have to score... At least two. I mean, if they score twice, you could get very lucky and have all the goals and all the assists. So that's four returns max you get from them. So realistically, you're hoping they score three times.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But... yeah, you just have more options and more routes to points. Let's say they score twice, the chances are that you get involvement in both goals, right? But yeah, this is where I'm at the moment.
Fair. Captaincy locked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, yeah. Man. It's not going off, Son. Yeah. If Tony was in better form, I'd consider it. But yeah, I don't think I want to go there. It'll be on Son. Just like the fact that just late on in games, if they're winning and the opposition are chasing games like at the weekend and he's just there to play on the counter, yeah. I really like.
Yeah. Okay, so this is my team. I would like to caveat and say it's definitely not locked. I would like to have three Spurs midfielders, but there's a couple issues with that. So Fleckin, Doughty, Reguilon, the last third spot is just, I have no idea. It's very hard to find that spot. Midfield, Bowen, triple Spurs with Johnson. Up top, Watkins, Morris, Tony. Now, I feel like Johnson's going to start once again because he had two very good games. I know Crystal Palace, he came off the bench, but he still got some returns there. And then against Aston Villa, he was excellent. And I believe when he came on for Crystal Palace, it was for Bentancur. So, you know, somehow he fit in Johnson as well as Kulu at the time. Johnson as well as Werner at the time. I do think that Johnson is a very risky play here. So the super safe attacking route would be Madison, Kulu, and Son, I believe. But yeah. I just felt like I saw enough in that last game in the second half versus Aston Villa where I was happy to, like, I want to own Johnson and Son. They just look so good together. So it's a gut thing here. The issue is that it messes up two things. First, I also want a Spurs defender. That's the first thing. And second of all, if I go for these three, I'm really not sure who that third defender would be. So that's where I'm at right now. Mm. It might change, but I wanted to show you where I'm at least in this moment in time.
I mean, we're not massively predicting points for defenders, so I would pick the attackers you want first. And if you really want the Johnson pick, then I think that's fine. If you don't go the Johnson pick, then it, of course, opens up the route for a Spurs defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would probably go Johnson over Kulu.
Yeah, more explosive, man. Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you like my little artwork there?
Yes, great.
Yeah.
Who would it be if the deadline was now? What are you thinking? Like, you've got Soufal and Konsa on your bench, but
yeah,
where would you go if it was now.
So I've got to double Brentford. I've got Doty. I hate Kufal. I like West Ham, guys. I just don't like Kufal as a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, if I knew... this is crazy, but if I knew an Aston Villa defender would start, maybe I'd go there.
Yeah, if you knew who was playing left back, then maybe you go there. If you knew Cash was starting. But...
yeah. The issue with going Nottingham defender is that it cancels Morris out.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very complicated. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the issue with going triple Spurs. It's just like... but you can also bet on the fact that you don't like the defenses overall, so maybe it's fine.
Yeah. If it was me...
go ahead, please.
I'd go Roslev and change a keeper.
Oh, okay. Because
I don't think there's that much between the keepers.
Okay.
Because I don't massively predict clean sheets, so I think Roslev Regulon is really nice.
Okay.
And then you can pick a different keeper, and I just think you just hope your keeper makes the most saves.
Who would that keeper be?
I mean, Areola or Flecken probably, but then do you want triple Luton? Maybe not. I mean, maybe Areola at home to Villa.
Yeah.
Villa shoot on sight, so...
yeah,
that's probably what I would do in this situation. If you want the triple mids, I think you go double. If Regulon's fit, you go double Brentford fullback is probably what I'd do.
Yeah. Let's see where the next 2 days end up being.
Yeah.
But we are all cherries tonight, yeah?
No. Okay, all hatters.
You're Netherlands.
Yeah, no, I won. I want a Luton win tonight.
That's true.
I'm here for the... I'm here for the Luton points, not the Bournemouth ones.
Yeah, I'm praying for a Luton
defense. Yeah.
Okay, that was fun, man. It was good to sort of summarize everything about Free Hit 29. I think it's more simple than it needs to be, with a couple of exciting picks here and there. Exciting, let's say. But anything else to add, Harry?
No, I'd just be interested in the chat if there are anyone going in here with big differentials. We also haven't asked anyone to like or subscribe throughout the whole stream.
Yeah.
Classic burning questions, we always forget. So if you could do that. But let us know in the chat if there's anyone massively differential that you're going with. Like, is anyone going for Muniz? I think Gibbs White is a differential because we don't own him, but I think he'll be quite popular. Lewis Potter could fill in at wing back. This is true. He did that in place of Regulon last weekend, but I'd be surprised if they're both fit, if it happens. It is possible. But yeah, any big differentials, anyone who's got, I don't know, Chris Wood. Yeah, trying to predict the Forest front line is quite difficult though, because I think Wood and Origi both played, but Forest fans are very... well, a lot of them like Awanyi a lot. Mooney's here going with Fulham. Yeah, I think Fulham is the... it is... Fulham is the one that we're all backing don't perform. And I think they may well do well this week. So a few of them going with a Willian, Mooney's, Robinson could definitely get points this week.
Yeah. Black Rose Official at... hey, Andy, please stop saying Sheffield and Sheffield United. I really apologize for that. I think being... out, like, not being from England, like, you don't really understand these details, nuances. Yeah. I didn't realize that, so I'll make sure I say Sheffield United from now on.
It's all good, but yeah, it's... why one of those things in this country.
Is that a...
it's just one of those things in this country is that I'm sure I've tweeted it, and then I get replies saying, yeah, I think I've said United, and then, of course, there's many teams that are United, like Newcastle United, Manchester United. So, yeah. All good, though.
Yeah, I think I say Man U, United. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, that was good.
Wood has played basically every game, minute under Nuno. The only thing on Chris Wood is I don't think they've had a penalty when Chris Wood and Gibbs White have both been on the pitch, which could dampen the appeal of Gibbs White if we think that Chris Wood might take the pens.
Yeah.
Sorry, just final one where Leo's saying that. If you knew the Forest team and Wood was starting, I quite like that pick.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Guys, again, please do hit the like. It really, really helps with the algo. Like, usually YouTube doesn't pick up on long podcast formats, so every like helps. And the reason I say this is, you know, we are very grateful to FF Scout for giving us the platform to do this, especially myself. So I want to return the favor to FF Scout as much as I can. So if you enjoyed the stream today, please do give us a like. We are game week 30, so not many pods left.
10 weeks left.
Yeah,
10 9 weeks left. No, yeah, 10 weeks left, including this one.
It's been a pleasure for my third season doing Burning Questions, your first.
Yeah.
Let's hope we end up in the ranks that we want. Thank you for joining us today, and we will be back next game week.
Thanks, everyone.